John 14, 18 says this, and we've heard this, but I want you to really grab it. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. This is Jesus. He's getting ready to go. The Holy Spirit is coming. And he's saying it for a reason, because he knows what's going on. He knows what the enemy uses against people and against this, how he feeds the orphan spirit is, hey, dad's not here. I'm not here. So Jesus wants to reassure the disciples, powerful men of God, that, hey, guys, it's all right. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, and I will come to you. In the NIV I put up there next? Check this out right here. He said, I will not leave you as, come on, I will not leave you as orphans. Because that's literally what it means. I will not leave you as orphans. I won't leave you in an orphanage. You won't have to have an Annie spirit singing tomorrow, tomorrow, every day, hoping that Jesus and God shows up. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And then check it out in the Living Bible. It says this. I love this one right here. No, I will not abandon you or leave you as orphans in the storm. That's a good place, even if you're not churchy, to say amen. I will not abandon you. That's the number one emotion. That's the number one thing, rejection and abandonment, that an orphan goes through. And many in the body of Christ have an orphan spirit, even though they're on their way to heaven. They're living in the orphanage. The front door is open. They don't realize they've been adopted. And they're singing, tomorrow, tomorrow. You can quit singing tomorrow because of what happened yesterday on the cross. Come on, somebody. You don't have to be orphans. In the moment we switch from orphans to son, Romans 8:19 says, the world, Tuscaloosa, is waiting on the church to realize that they're the sons of God. The world is waiting. All creation is waiting for the manifestations of the Son of God. And the bottom line is, we're not waiting on the world to come to church. The world is literally waiting on the church to realize who they are. They're waiting on us to realize, I am. It doesn't matter how you were born. It doesn't matter where you live, your color of skin, how much money you have or don't have. The world, Tuscaloosa, the University of Alabama, Stillman, Shelton, they're waiting on us to realize and be manifested as sons of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, just come in these next few moments. Lord, as tough as it is, open us up so that you can take out. We don't want things put in with stuff still in there. Sometimes we need to allow something removed before we put in. Touch us, Lord, today in this room and those that are watching right now. Open the eyes of our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, amen. You may be seated. I want to say something, and I'm really talking from my heart. You can hear that I'm in that mode this morning. Thank you, musicians. And I want to say something because I feel I need to. And it's not to, I don't know any other word to say, but to scare you, even you that are guests today. I don't know what's going to happen when I roll this message out. What I mean by that is God has really been working strong in me and taking me to another place. And so it may sound like I'm angry at times. It may sound like I'm frustrated. And I want to say this off the bat. Don't mistake my frustration and anger at being at you. It's at the enemy. I'm telling you, I'm ready to just explode over what the devil is doing to believers and what believers are letting him do. Because we as believers, we either have authority or we don't. And last time I checked, we do. Behold, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And so as I speak today, it's raw. You may want to grab some tissue. I told somebody that a little while ago. But I want you to hear this word from the Father heart of God. So many times we know what we want, but we don't know what we don't want. And sometimes if we're going to get what we want in our life, we have to remove and find out what we don't want. I don't want the presence of God camping out with Goliath. I want Goliath slayed, the giant slayed in my life. And let me just, it's going to sound strong. I don't want to put Jesus with my other idols because it doesn't work. And I've got so much brewing in me that we may do church a little bit different in the next couple weeks. Amen. Because there is a holy frustration, not at you, not even at me, but at the savage, the destroyer, Satan himself. He's a terrorist. He is evil. You don't win playing with him. Jesus said in John 14, verse 18, I will not leave you in the NIV. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. A couple weeks ago, last week was powerful with Pat and Karen, but a couple weeks ago, I was talking about, it actually came out of Gary Smalley's book, Five Love Languages. Anybody ever read that? Powerful book to read. Powerful book, The Five Love Language. And he talked, and it was written years ago. It's one of the classics for marriages and family. And I believe there's even one for children now. And he talks in that book how every human being is born with a love tank. Everybody say love tank. Every human being is born with a love tank that must be filled by a certain age. That must be filled by parents. And I don't even have to go there, but this is why M3 marriage ministry and singles, because we have single parents, and Daystar period and men's ministry and women, we have got to help some parents. We need to do a parenting conference. How many parents need help? Listen, if I'm raising my hand and I've got a pretty strong family, because some of us are even raising our grandkids. You realize you have a love tank. Sad to say, sometimes we think it's being filled, but it's just fumes. Because it wasn't filled when we were young, and we think we fall in love with so-and-so. We date them because dating is a fraud. Because we act like something we're not until we get married. We show up with flowers, freeze them. Because now you're not going to get them except maybe once a year on your anniversary. We open the door. Get it yourself. What's wrong? We think that we found Mr. Right and Mrs. Right, and then about 6 months into the marriage, the mask come off, the sex fades, and it's like, there's got to be more to this. Then you show up in my office going, he's not giving me what I want. She's not giving me what I want. And I have to look and say, you know why? Because they can't. At this point in your life, because your love tank wasn't filled in certain ways, there are certain things that only God can do. And this is, your answer is not your husband or your wife getting right. That's secondary to you getting with God. If you will allow God to touch you and he allow God to touch him, I'm telling you, your atmosphere of your home will change. So there's five emotional needs. Let me teach today. Is that all right? Five emotional needs that a child must have. Five emotional, not love language, needs, the first one. Five emotional needs that a child must have. And let me preface this before I go to number one. Hang on a second for number one. That, and yes, there's discussion, so don't take this as concrete. A child gets its emotional needs mostly met by a mother between the ages of 1 and 3. And you can see why. A child gets a lot of his emotional needs met by mama between ages 1 and 3, and there's a bonding many times with mom between ages of 1 and 3. It doesn't mean the dad is not important, but it's really 1 and 3 is mom in a lot of ways. From 3 and up, though, there are key things that we get from our father. And as you listen to this message today, don't go to the drama triangle. I want to go ahead and expose the devil. Because we live in a fatherless generation, or we live in a time where we're mad at our dad and we didn't have a dad. And if you have an orphan spirit, you end up getting jealous of other people that do have a dad. That's what the enemy does. Don't go to the drama triangle. Don't go to victim, villain, or hero. That's the drama triangle. Hear the word of the Lord today so that God can do what he needs to do in your life and fill you. Because I got news for you. You have a father. Can I give you another nugget? Let go of your earthly dad and release him of what he did to you. Because the sooner you let go, he didn't know what he was doing. Some of y'all were born too young to your mom and dad. And your mom and dad did not know how to raise you. And you're angry about that. But your mom and dad had you too young and they didn't know how to raise you. Then the bottom line is you're not a mistake. He's the father of all spirits. But guess what? They didn't even know how to raise you until they tried to start doing it when you were 14. Or they tried to do it after he left your mom. And now he's trying to make it up. Now all of a sudden he's calling you. And you're like, great. Where were you at the first 17 years of my life? At my ball game or my gymnastics meet? And you're holding bitterness against somebody that didn't know what they were doing. Father, forgive them, for they know not. I'm preaching good. Tell somebody, release it. Because the sooner you release that, the sooner you get healed. The sooner you become a better parent, a better husband, a better wife. Let them go and bless them. Come on, amen. So there are things that we get only from dad. Well, from dad, key things from dad and mom, but really strong from our father at an early age that helps fill this love tank. And if that love tank, you see, we learn, how do I say this? Our adulthood is affected by what we learn in family. I'm going to say that again. Our adulthood is affected by what happened in our family growing up. And whatever happens between the ages of when we were born to 7 is real big, if you study this. And then on up through to high school is big also. But really between 0 and 7, a lot of things are formed or deformed that the enemy tries to do. And that's why we need Jesus. And so if our love tank is not filled, if these emotional needs are not filled, when we become an adult, listen to me. Again, don't go drama. I don't need you to sit there and go, oh, God, I'm just horrible now. Go ahead and shoot me. I'm not worth anything. No, I need to open you up on the table. Listen to the Holy Spirit. God can't put something in where the enemy has put something into. It cannot reside in the same place. We must remove the demonic things that the enemy has tried to put in who you are. If this thing is not filled, and you could even be raised with godly parents and have an orphan spirit. So let me just go ahead and expose that real quick. You can't be even raised with a good mom and dad, but for whatever reason, the things from the garden are still showing up. Trust me, when I started writing message number 1, I sat in Starbucks and cried in California, realizing, oh my God, this is in me. In every message that I write, today's, I'm like, oh my goodness. But if this love tank is not filled, it will show up some in high school. It will show up some in high school, junior high school. It'll really start showing up in college. Then after you get through doing the whole rat race and you stop for a minute, it'll start showing up in friendships as you become an adult. The hole will get bigger the older you get. It'll really show up in marriage. It'll really show up in parenting. And you'll have an orphan trying to raise an orphan. And I'm here to tell you, enough is enough. I'm here to tell you that revival is coming according to Romans 8:19 as the church realizes, I am a son of God. I have been adopted. I have the spirit of adoption because of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what my birth certificate says. It doesn't matter where I lived or what happened. I am adopted into the family. 5 emotional needs. Number 1, quickly, unconditional express love. This is something that a child must get growing up. A child must get this from a father to a son, and even from a father to a daughter, his princess. This is why I do my best to even, my only daughter is Destiny. I date her. Because the more I'm in her life, she won't marry the wrong person. She will compare me with the guys that want to date her and like her, and hopefully she'll go, no. A child needs unconditional, expressed love. A father's commitment is just not, watch it, dads, because some of you dads are really going to, it's going to, some stuff today. It's not just you providing, feeding them, and clothing your child. A child does not, in fact, that's not what they need first. They don't just need you to provide food and clothes. Man, some of us do that for our dogs. A child needs, and the more you grow up, you may be sitting here today as an adult saying, that's what I'm missing. They need unconditional, somebody say, expressed love. Expressed love. We'll talk more about that. Unconditional. It means it's without condition. It means you don't have to meet up to something. We'll talk more about it. It's a love that doesn't have to be performed to receive it. You remember me talking about there's five love languages. We're still on number one, but let me give you these five love languages. You receive love by one of these five love languages. Some of you, it's actually proven two, you may receive it by two ways. Human beings receive love. Their love language is one of these five things, that you feel loved by words of affirmation. And all you need is for your husband or wife to just to tell you, you're my hero or you're my queen. And you're like, it's on. But you know, it's not that you have an ego. It's your love language is affirmation, words of affirmation, to be affirmed. For some of you, it's gifts. For some of you, it's gifts. Ladies, that's a good place to say amen. For some of y'all, it's a new purse, a dress, some money. And that when you're given that, that's your love language. You like feel loved. And this is why no matter how old your kids get, never stop giving them a birthday card and a gift. Or they're too old. No, they're not. We all are little kids in heart. We still want a card and a gift from mom and dad, even if we're 50 and they're 70. Some of us, our love languages is a hug, touch. A hug, a hand that's put right here, or baby, come on. For some of us, it's help. It's help. It's when your husband decides to wash the dishes and make the bed. I made the bed the other night. Got it out of the dryer. Oh, y'all don't hear me. And we were sitting at the restaurant. She said, we were talking about having to go home and make the bed. I said, oh, no, it's already done. Don't look at me. Look at Jesus. It's already done, baby. The palace is prepared. And she said, oh, you got some brownie points now. I said, I know. I made a deposit for withdrawal later. I know this is one of Christy's love languages, that she is... Oh, goodness, she goes off very little sleep. That when I say, what can I help you with? For some women, that is the best statement to make to them. What can I help you with? For some of us men, too. Don't forget, this is not just a woman thing. No matter how much hair you have on your chest, and no matter if you wear a Mr. T starter kit, it doesn't matter, or how many tattoos you have. Men need to be asked, baby, can I help you with something? Oh. Quality time. Quality time. It speaks for itself. I love this about quality time because I read something this week, the importance of family dinner. The importance of family dinner. Anybody remember family dinner? No, I'm not just talking about on Thanksgiving. I read this in our HOH, our Habits of Health book. Research shows that children who have regular meals with their parents Research shows children who have regular meals with their parents do better in every way, from better grades to healthier relationships and staying out of trouble. They are 42% less likely to drink, 50% less likely to smoke, 66% less likely to smoke weed. Now, if you're doing all those as a parent, anyways. Regular family dinners protect girls from bulimia, anorexia, and diet pills. Family dinners also reduce the incidence of childhood obesity. In a study on household routines and obesity in the U.S. preschool children, it is shown that kids as young as 4 have a lower risk of obesity if they have regular family dinners and have enough sleep and don't watch TV on weekdays. Here's my question. You don't have to answer it, but I ask myself, how many nights a week are we having a family dinner? Or does everybody go to the room with their computer and laptop? Just something to think about. The second emotional need that a child needs is safety and security. Safety and security. A child must experience safety and security from their father. They need to feel safe. Now, let me explain this. What does that mean? Yes, a father is a protector, but that's not really what I'm referring to. A father is to be a protector. Like anybody mess with you, I'm a... But that's not necessarily the safety that I am talking about right now. I'm talking about a child needs to feel safe in expressing themselves. Please hear me. A child needs to feel safe that they can tell you what they're feeling. And a child needs help with you pulling it out of them. After raising 4 kids, a child needs help. A child has to feel safe that they can even tell you that they sinned. That in the back seat of the car, Dad, I went up a girl's shirt. And some of you are like, that's the problem. That's the problem right there. It's taboo to talk about this. Well, guess what? You're not, and they are. My sons need to be able to tell me, and there were times they didn't, there's times that they did. My daughter needs to be able to tell me, hey, Dad, this is going on, and feel safe. That Dad's not going to go, what? Are you kidding me? Give me your phone. Now, let me just say to all the kids, if you keep doing stuff, then Dad may go, what? Because I've showed you grace so many times. Ah, give me your phone. But a child needs to feel safe that, Dad, I'm going through something. Watch this, watch this, watch, 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 watch. Because this is the same way in the church. They need to be able to tell you, I'm really fighting bad thoughts about depression and about taking my life. Come on. Suicide is like, I'm about to bust. I'm fixing to do a message on it because I'm going to expose the enemy. First of all your thoughts are not yours. All your thoughts. For you that are fighting suicidal spirit and depression, those thoughts you're having, according to Corinthians 5:10, they're not all yours. Those are evil forebodings. Those are demonic oppressions of an enemy coming to take you out. But here's the deal. Please, no, you're not the only one that gets them, but you got to talk to somebody. This is why I'm tired of hokey pokey church. I'm tired of fake Christians. I'm tired of, well, let's just pray for you. Let's put some oil on your head. Let's cast that devil out of you. It ain't a devil, all right? It is demonic spirits at time oppressing. Mental illness is very real. But when we put on this plastic parenting face at home and this plastic face at church, people feel like they can't talk to anybody. And the next thing we know, we have a pastor taking his life. We have so-and-so taking their life. We have a child. We must feel safe. If any place, I said it this morning, if there's any place we can get vulnerable, it should be at church without other people going, you did what? I'm glad I don't do that. Oh, stop it. You stink too. A child needs to feel like, Dad, I'm really having really bad thoughts right now. Baby, and let me just tell you, you have to be, here's the word, write it down, intentional. This is my number one word right now in life, intentional. I'm talking to parents, I'm talking to everybody. You have to be intentional. Please cut off ESPN. Please forget about your job and your career and making all your money, because money can't buy a kid back from the grave. Money can't buy a wife who takes her life. Money can't buy any of that. Some of y'all need to downsize and quit loving money more than your family. I'm telling you right now. Because when you wake up in 60 with all your money, it's no fun if you don't have anybody to spend it with. You've got to notice body language. A father helps a child feel safe and secure. You've got to notice body language. You've got to notice when your son or your daughter, wife or whoever is walking across the room like a zombie. You've got to be discerning by the Holy Spirit. This is why parents must pray in the Holy Ghost. I said we must pray in the Holy Ghost. We need to speak in tongues. We need to pray in the Holy Ghost. It's Bible. Because I'll pray what I don't know what I'm praying for. When I don't know how to pray for my kids, when they're walking through something and I don't have the answer, I got to pray in the Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit will show me. And then you got to recognize it. Baby, come here. I did this with Destiny last Sunday. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I said, come here, come sit on the couch. Because a daddy recognizes when a child's in pain, when identity, when they're not being who God made them to be. No, I'm good. No. I love you, baby. Don't tell daddy that. Because I know in my knower, my spirit, I don't hear mama. The mamas are dying in the church. Mothers are dying in the church. I'm talking about mothers, as in the older saints that we call Mother So-and-so, Mother Sanders. You know, thank God she's still here. But where are the new mamas that say, I feel something in my spirit? Where are the new mothers that are rising up saying, something's not right? Something, I don't know, have the answer, but something right here. There's a red light in my spirit. I don't hear young women talking like that anymore. That's not religion. That's Bible. There's something in my spirit not right. She's going through something. Somebody please sit down and talk to her before she ends up in the wrong place, marrying the wrong dude, living in California. Okay, I gotta go. Safety and security. Got to be a safe place where our kids can talk to us. Number three, affirmation and praise needs to be filled. Here's the statement. Self-esteem is built through a relationship with the Father. Now, for you that, please understand me, self-esteem is a God word. It's found in our relationship with the Father. It's Godfidence. From God. Confidence from God. Godfidence. But a child receives self-esteem. You remember when Jesus was baptized? Listen real close to this. Matthew 3, this is before Jesus had ministry or anything else. Matthew 3, verse 15 and 17, we all know it. Jesus was baptized. This fitting for the unfilled of all righteousness that he consented. The next verse, is this the right passage? I may have put the wrong one. And Jesus was baptized immediately. He went up from the water. We all know this. Jesus comes out of the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. And he saw the Spirit descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And all of a sudden, verse 18, and behold, a voice from heaven. Whose voice is that? The Father said over his Son, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, if Jesus had to hear this, how much more do we and our children have to hear this? Okay? Don't get me wrong. It's not just when they win the prize that makes you feel good. They don't want to just hear you're proud of them because they won the football game and it made you feel good in the stands. That's selfish love. They need to feel that you love them and are proud of them over things they don't get some type of glory out of. Oh, help me. I'm preaching real good right now. Affirmation and praise. Affirmation and praise. Jesus needed this affirmation and praise. Don't go there yet, media. But this is chapter 3. Do you know what happens in chapter 4? Please hear me. It's when he's led into the wilderness and Satan shows up. Do you think God knew that? Do you think it was intentional of God for Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 to happen? Because any father who loves their child wants to tell them who they are before they confront the devil. Jesus, God the Father, had to be intentional that his son knows how he feels about him before he is led into the wilderness and is confronted by Satan. What would happen if we would tell our kids now at an early age who they are and how proud we are of them before they go out in the world and are confronted by the things of the world? God intentionally told Jesus who he was before he was led into the wilderness. God intentionally said, son, I'm proud of you and I love you. How many young people face hell, Satan, sex, drugs, self-destruction before they ever hear the words, I love you and I'm proud of you? Again, I'm not just talking about when they won the trophy. Because sometimes what we call love is selfish love. What if they heard it before they faced Satan, the world? I do think if we did that with our kids, the world wouldn't be as attractive. You see, when a child knows who they are and whose they are, people can't tell them. When a child knows whose they are and who they are, when those mean girls at school, I had to pull Destiny out of the sixth grade, seventh grade. You stayed home in the seventh grade, right, to come home for 1 year? Is that right? Because she was coming home and she was losing herself. Because girls can be mean in middle school. Kids can be mean. And it's nothing more than a reflection of parents today. They're doing what they hear their parents do. And I had to pull her out and say, baby, we're going to homeschool you. And she, because you got to know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, somebody will tell you who you are. And I promise you, they're probably wrong. And this is where words come in and bad things are spoken and things are said over kids. You're a whore. You're this. You're gay. You're stupid. You're an idiot. You're fat. You're ugly. Psychology will tell you that for every 40 negative words that are spoken over a child, I mean over one, every one negative word that is spoken over a child, James Dobson talks about it, over one word, negative word, you're fat, you're stupid, you're gay, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're this, you're that. And this is why sexuality is even an issue. Because the rejection will lead you. But for every one word that's spoken by a parent, you're stupid, man, come on. Why can't you be like your sister, your brother, yada, 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 yada? For every one word of negativity spoken over a child, it cannot be canceled unless there's another 40 positive words. 1 to 40. That for every one negative word that is spoken over you, your child, that it takes 40 words by a parent of telling them positive things of who they are to cancel it. Is anybody getting something out of this? Affirmation and praise. And let me say this about this. I believe in disciplining a child. But I also see the other end of it. So many times parents are only disciplining their kids and never affirming them. Never praising them. And at that point, I begin to question, why are they disciplining them? Because I honestly think they're disciplining them. You know, we parents, don't do that. You're embarrassing. That's really bad parenting whenever you make it about you. Don't do that. You're embarrassing. It's really bad parenting. And I think some people discipline their kids so their kids don't embarrass them. Don't be an embarrassment to the family. Did you know that's really bad parenting? Kids need affirmation. Human beings need affirmation. Come on, amen? This is why the church definitely needs to become real. and not fake anymore. If somebody's walking through depression in this place, please come tell me. Please tell somebody. Your life is too valuable. Please don't take your life. This planet needs you. The enemy wants to take you out because there's mighty purpose. Jesus is Jehovah Rapha. And there are very qualified people that can help you. Here's the big thing. Matthew 3 again. Jesus, you're my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I don't know if you noticed, not only does Satan show up, what is the first thing Satan tries to do? And now you realize why God had to do verse 16 and 17 right here. The very next chapter in only verse 3, look what happens. Give me verse 3 on that. And the tempter, Satan, came and said to Jesus, if you are... I need somebody to understand. Anybody grabbing? I'm fixing to shout because I don't have time to preach it right here. After God affirmed him, see, God knows. This is why you got to know who you are. It's why you got to hear God. Don't even look to your pastor. I'm not your daddy. I am not your daddy. I'm a spiritual dad. Please separate what that really means. I am not God. Because if you look at me at God, you will get offended. And when I don't give you attention, you'll go to another church. The people that have left Daystar in the last year, many of them left because Scott is so loving. And the moment I showed somebody else attention because they have an orphan spirit, they get mad and angry and they're at another church right now. And guess what? They're trying to get what they tried to get here and they won't get it there either. They need to stop being orphan. Your pastor is not Father God. I am man. He is your father. The very first thing that Satan shows up to the Son of God and makes him question is his sonship, his identity. God is good. Because I think the church service happened in chapter 3, but some folk didn't show up. God has a plan every Sunday to stop what the enemy is going to do. He has a chapter 3 service that's going to stop a chapter 4 event. Oh, my God, my God, oh, my God. But some folk didn't feel like coming to church because they're led by their emotions. They only go to church once every here and there. And I'm telling you what, God has what you need on the chapter 3 service for the Monday that's the chapter 4 that happens. And when the devil tries to show up in chapter 4, you go, no, I am adopted. I am a son of God. I am. Don't you even say that I'm not a son of God. I am the son of God. And I will tell those stones to become bread. Be not ignorant of the devil's schemes and devices. God's not. And if you'll lean in, he'll tell you on Sunday what's going to happen on Monday. Another thing of a son and daughter emotionally, direction and purpose. I got to move. We got to stop here. Direction and purpose. Musicians, don't come yet. Hang on a second. Directions and purpose. A dad feels the need. A child has to have purpose and direction. So many kids today at 14 years old do not have purpose. They don't know who they are. And when you don't know who you are, abuse is inevitable. Whether it's by a boyfriend that sexually does something to you. Abuse is going to happen when you don't know who you are. When you think you're a paper plate, you'll be used like one. This is why a daddy has to tell his princess, no, baby girl, uh-uh. Don't you let some boy up your shirt and in your pants. Them boys, you got to watch them. Because I is one. But believe it or not, daddies, your girl needs you to talk to them like that. No, that's mama's job. No, it's not. Your baby girl ought to be able to tell you as daddy, daddy, I got funny feelings happening. Well, baby, let's talk about it. First of all, if you let a boy put his hand right here, or you put your hand on a boy's thigh, it's on like Donkey Kong. I don't care how much Amazing Grace is playing in the background. It's on, because touch is powerful. I said touch is powerful. Where are the parents? We got to teach our kids about it. We can't go la, 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 because guess what? Snapchat is teaching them. Sexting is teaching them. Private Snapchat. Some of y'all kids got two Snapchats, by the way. You don't even know it. Some of your kids have two Snapchats. And they think they're faking you out. I hear the giggles from over in this corner right now. Guilty as charged. Snapchat is destroying our kids. Don't label me as some heretic. Don't label me. What does that mean? When something is not used in a godly way, it is destruction. That's what makes it a sin. A sin is not a sin until it's against the law of God. Some of y'all need to start monitoring your kids. And some of y'all need to monitor yourself. Because you can't teach your kids what you're not doing. Amen, Doc. I heard that. Come on now. Josh, I love you, son. Your hair looks good today. It was slinging while you're playing drums. It was anointed. You're like slapping the devil with your dreads. Somebody said direction and purpose. Single parents, one side note. Stop allowing your kids to do stuff because you feel guilty for what they have been through with dad and whatever. And you feel so guilty, you're trying to be their friend and not their parent. So you're allowing them to do things because you're making it about you again. You want them to like you because of all they've been through. And you're playing the victim with them. And you're allowing them to do things and to sin and to be with boys and girls and do things because you feel guilty and you're trying to make it up to them by giving them sin. You don't mean to. But you're doing that because the devil is, you're in the orphan spirit. You're orphaning parent. You're an orphan parent trying to parent instead of coming into Christ. Because when you come into Christ, you'll be like to your daughter, no. We need some O-liners to come back. No, you ain't going there. No, you're not going to be at a pool by yourself with some boys. Well, don't you trust me? Oh, I trust you. I don't trust them. So don't play that with me. Don't be acting some victim child. Do right. You're going to listen to me. You're not going to be sitting in my office at 24 when I told you at 17 what not to do, but you did it anyway, and you show up in my office at 24 years old and say, well, I should have listened to you at 17, because I'm going to go, you should have listened to me at 17. My God, at least listen to me at 24 so it don't get any worse. Am I telling the truth? See, I'm speaking from a parent that has four kids, two married, another one in California, and my other one right here, my biological kids. Speaking from the heart of God, the fifth thing, acceptance. A child needs acceptance. Number five, acceptance. And here's what I'm going to say about that. A child needs to feel like they belong. Put number five up there if you would. A child needs to feel like they belong. Well, that's duh. No, 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 no. You need to hear this. You need to hear this. A child needs to feel like they're wanted in the room. A child needs to feel like, you know, there's times where Christy and I have had a date night planned and we were needing a date night really bad. But one of my children was going through something. I could have been really selfish. There was times where I said to Christy, no, let him go out with us. Let's go together. It's okay. Because first of all, a real parent cannot have a good time while a child is going through something. If so, something's wrong. And I remember looking at Christy saying, no, we're not going on a date, or let them come with us, and we just need to pour into them. A child has to feel like they're not, here's the word, got it, thank you, Lord, an inconvenience. that they're unwanted. Miss Betty, you just said in the way. A bother. That's good. And now I'm going to tell you, the devil can make a child feel that way, even when they're not. And sometimes, parent, you have to go, oh, I see the devil trying to lie to them. And that's where you got to be, here's the word, intentional about disarming the thoughts that the child is getting that are demonic, that really are not true. And you have to hear that. Oh, the devil's trying to tell her or him this. And this is why you need to open your mouth to your kids, to your daughters, and say the things that you feel the enemy might be telling them. Because God did that in chapter 3. We need to do that too. So I'm wrapping up. Here we go. Those were the 5 emotional needs. I'm going to give you 3 types of earthly fathers, and I promise this is literally like maybe 7 minutes, and we're done. Now, before I give you these, look up at me. 3 types of earthly fathers that are not good, that are destructive. Before I go into these, there's going to be some men in this room that you're going to feel like it's you. And I need you to not hear through the drama triangle. I need you to go, from this day on, I'm changing. See, there's a big difference in that type. I'm changing by the power of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God. As I was writing this message, I said, Lord, this is going to really open up a lot. 3 type of earthly dads that some of you have had. And you may have even had the dad, and now you're being the same dad. Let me just tell you, the only way nowadays to be a great father and a great parent is through the help of the Holy Spirit. Trust me. I've been raised really godly way, but I'm telling you what, 2 of the hardest things in the world, parenting and keeping a godly marriage. And the only way I can do it is with the helper. I do not leave you as orphans, but I'm sending a helper. 1, you're not an orphan, you're a son. And guess what? As a son, somebody's coming called the Holy Ghost, who's called the helper. The first type of dad is performance-oriented. And I'm going to read my notes so I don't preach them. I see this type of father quite a bit in the body of Christ. So many are raised with this type of father. The father shows attention only when the child meets high standards. A child is only loved when they meet a performance, and their performance is perfect. They scored a touchdown. They didn't miss a block. They got the block. They made the touchdown. They won the trophy in the tournament. Or they got a 10 in gymnastics or a 9 or whatever, and they won the medal. This father is very only performance-oriented father. I counsel people in my office all the time that have dads like this. Their performance has to be perfect in sports, academics, music. No, you're going to practice and get it right. Their skills. But this type of father can be very destructive without love. This father that is performance oriented can be very destructive when you only love when they perform. Anybody have a dad like that? 2. The second type of father that can be destructive is a passive father. This is a father that does not have high demands. So he's not like high demanding as far as you got to meet a standard. But this type of father doesn't have high demands, but they also show no interest in the child. Like, it's literally a guy that leaves every morning, goes to work and comes home, sits in the recliner and goes to bed. It's a passive dad. The mom is always at the events, but not the dad. The mom is always at the game. Where do you think this thing on TV when the guy scores a touchdown? Hey, mom! You know where that came from? Because mom was the only one in the stands. Mom is at every event, gymnastics, baseball, yada, yada, yada. Now, I know this has different dynamics. It's because dad's maybe at work. But if the shoe fits, you have to examine yourself. This dad actually has no expression at all, especially of love. He never kisses his son. I kiss my boys. I kiss my daughter. Because the Bible says in the last days there'll be a lack of affection. Timothy 3, Romans 1, a love. And that's why this generation is like, dude, don't hug me. Especially don't do it at school in front of other kids. Just a parental guidance here. At the ball game or whatever. No, that's not good. That's not. Well, we fixing to make it cool. We fixing to make it. I'm going to bust this thing up. I'm fixing to slap a big wet one on you right in front of the whole school. And I'm going to bust this thing up. Because other little girls are actually wanting the same thing from their dad. Demonic spirit. I'm gonna hear things at home tonight. I have a kiss your son. Son, hug him. That's hard for me. Work on it. I will say the first answer is receive a kiss from God. Once you receive a kiss from your father, it's easier to kiss your son. Cuddle with your daughter. Date your daughter. Some of you are going like, listen, I'm not letting the sickness of this world stop me from being a great dad. I'm going to kiss my baby girl, and whoever she marries better be used to it too. And he better have a lot of money. I'm making it really hard. That dowry better be really, you better come off that wallet if you're going to marry Destiny. Because I have spoiled her so much. She is made for high class. Come on now, I am African. I got a little bit of that in me. Telling y'all, some of y'all need to make your standards as high as your high heels. I don't know where that came from. This father is like a zombie at home. Hey, Dad.
Hey.
How's your day?
Good.
This type of father gets mad at emotion, even at church, because he has a tendency to be a little military-like. Military men struggle with this, and I've counseled lots of military men when I was in Fayetteville. Because you try to be militant with your family and tell your wife what to do, like she's part of the platoon. You're always telling people what to do as a dad. You're telling them, not showing them. You tend to be a workaholic when you're a passive dad. You tend to be controlling. And even at church, you don't like emotion. You don't like Daystar because they're too radical. He's always telling us to shout. Clap. Kiss my son. Baby, we ain't supposed to be at this church. They weird. No, it's actually what the world has made normal is wrong. The world has made it weird. What the world is doing is the one that's weird, not what I'm doing. And I'm not going to put up with the new norm. The last one, we're done. Greg, you can start playing now. Play something to make them happy. Here's the last one, absentee dad. It is what it says. Whether it was a divorce and you've never been with your dad or whatever, there's so many people walking through, has had a dad that wasn't there. By the way, you can be home and be absentee. You can be at home and be absentee. I'm guilty of all three of these dads, if that makes you feel any better. And I'm a good daddy. It's hard work to be a parent. But the message is not a parenting message today. Some of you have had these dads. And it's why you're walking in what you're walking is because you walked through that stuff. And now you're 36 years old, 46, 56. And it's like, oh my God, pastor, so am I just jacked up and messed up for the rest of my life? Can I tell you no? Can I tell you that you're not? Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says this. Check it out on the screen. keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Go back to verse 5 because it's the one that hit me. And I close. Would you stand with me? God said, I will never leave you. Somebody say, God, you haven't left me. Come on, just talk to yourself for a minute. Say, God, you haven't left me. And you never will. Even when I'm a bad little boy and girl. God, you're not going to leave me. You're not going to be absentee. You're not going to love me and show up for only the birthday party and I don't see you till next year. You're with me. Can I tell you that God is the mender of broken hearts? And today, as I was writing this message, he said two things to me. And the first one's strong. There's some people that need to repent. Now, what is that? That's not, oh, I'm just horrible. No, that's drama triangle, old covenant repentance. Repentance is, God, I believe you. And I believe your word. And I could be the parent that you've called me to be. And it's not too late. For you that your kids are grown, can I just tell you, it's never too late for God. If your kid's 20, if he's 21, 23, it's never too late. So don't go drama. Don't let the devil make you shift over there. No, your child could be 50. And it's not too late for God ever for him to restore and to heal. So with every head bowed in this place, altar ministers, would you...